Are we ready? All right. So Office 365 Pro Plus telemetry and compatibility. So we've learned how to do the installs. We've learned how to do the updates. Now we're all confident and ready to go. We want to deploy Office 365 Pro Plus to our environment. So what do we do next? Well, the biggest thing that we don't know is what is our Office environment? Most of us don't, right? Including us at Microsoft. We didn't know, right? We had an idea, but we didn't know. So we built a tool called the Telemetry Dashboard, and the Telemetry Dashboard gives us that intel. So it goes out and it collects the information for us once we configure it, and it will tell us through a simple dashboard, it's an Excel spreadsheet, that we can swizzle through and get a view of what versions of Office do I have in my environment, what are my add-ins in my environment, which add-ins are having issues, which add-ins are not having issues, right? And the reason that's important is because then I can take that information and swizzle it to what are my top issues, and then that's what I'm going to solve first, right? Or what's my biggest add-in, right? So do I have this particular add-in? Let's say it's the SAP add-in, and it's installed on 90% of all my machines. Well, before I go running down the road of Office 365 Pro Plus, I better make sure that the SAP add-in works. Right? So, you know, in my app compatibility component, right, because you still have to do that, right? I've been emphasizing that over and over and over again. We still got to do app compatibility. We need to validate that that still works in your environment. Because if it doesn't work, right, we don't want to be racing down this road. We have to solve that issue first. So the telemetry dashboard gives us that level of insight into our environment. What the telemetry dashboard is not, is it's not a monitoring tool per se, right? And it's not a troubleshooting tool. It can tell me if something went wrong, but it's not something I can drill down into on that particular machine and figure out what was wrong. I'm gonna have to go to the machine, because it'll tell me which machine had a problem, right? And then I have to go solve the problem on the machine. Like, it'll tell me this add-in crashed on this machine 6 times, but it doesn't tell me why. It just says that it did, right? So then I have to go solve those things. So I just want, you know, telemetry dashboard is great for getting the intel on what I need to go work on in my environment to make my deployment successful, but it's not a replacement for System Center. It's not a replacement for other monitoring tools. It's just an intel gathering tool to help me move my environment from Office, whatever version I am today, to Office 365 Pro Plus or Office 2013. This is the one piece where if you're going to do Office 2013 on premises, this tool would be the same thing. It's the same tool. You could choose to shut it down, say I'm done, right? Because at that stage, I would recommend you're using a better analysis tool to do those things. But you can keep letting it collect, but understand it's going to keep growing a database, right? And it's going to keep collecting data. And you're going to, you know, we have tools to help you prune the content and do those things. There's a what we call a TD admin tool, and we'll talk about it. But that TD admin tool is a command line driven tool that we as IT pros can do because most of us aren't DBAs, right? And we don't know how to go into a SQL store and prune off data that's older than 6 months or older than this. So, and there are limits to what the telemetry tool can do. So if you're a super large environment, we kind of cap out at 100,000. So 100,000 machines is really kind of our absolute ceiling. So, you know, what do I do if I'm more than 100,000? Well, do statistical sampling. So there's websites out there that'll talk about if I'm 100,000 users and I wanted to do a 99.4% statistical sampling correction of what my environment looks like, how many machines would I have to look at? And I believe the answer is like around 14,000, right? So that gives me an idea of, you know, if I was just doing like the census, right, statistical sampling, then that's what I need to just sample with. You can do them all, right? You can collect all of them up to 100,000. Once the 100,000 is kind of the ceiling. So then you could actually build multiples right? So I could have an instance, say, in the U.S., and I pull those 50,000. I can have an instance in Europe, and I pull those 100,000. I can have an instance over in Asia, and I pull those, 200,000. Or actually multiple instances when they had 200,000. But they don't aggregate, right? So then you would doing some custom reporting and some custom coding to aggregate that level of content. So what is the Office Update Challenge, right? Is traditionally, how did we, when we did an Office deployment, right? We did 3 to 9 months of app compatibility. We did about a month to 2 months of training, right? And 2 to 4 months of deployment, right? That was the standard, how long it kind of took to do a simple Office deployment. And for many of us, it was much longer than that, right? That's actually a nice accelerated version of what we're talking about. For some of us, it takes longer. And that's why we were skipping versions, right? We went from 3 to 7, or we went from 3 to 10, right? We were trying to skip versions. We weren't trying to stay always current, always up to date. Multiple reasons, right? We've talked about those during the update process, right? Maybe it was because of the object model. Maybe it was because of the APIs. Maybe it was because we have really old plugins that wouldn't work in the new versions. And then, those are still going to be true. So if you have legacy add-ins that you're running on your legacy Excel environment or PowerPoint or Word environment, then we're still going to have those potential issues. Side-by-side install may solve some of that for a short period of time, but that's not a long solution. So the telemetry dashboard helps us gather that information so we can triage and fix things quicker. Because in the past, that was kind of a long, drawn-out process. Now we can get these agents out to the machines, get them reporting back in, and we can gather this information and get streamlining that process faster. So what are the common headaches? And I've been rattling them off as we go on. Do my VBAs, my add-ins, my macros still work, right? Do my documents print the same, right? Do my third-party apps still function? Yeah. Do the add-ins, are they causing my users to slow down, right? So part of the telemetry will tell us if an add-in is slowing everything down. So you may have an add-in that takes, 45 seconds to launch, or maybe it's taking 3 minutes to launch. And we as IT, we just don't know that, right? The users just got used to it being slow, and they just sit there and, they've gotten used to why it's poor. But we're completely unaware of this. This will actually give us a little bit of insight to say, this add-in, it works, but boy, is it slow to launch, right? It takes this amount of time to get loaded. Now, that may be the norm, and that's how long an admin takes, but it may not be the norm, right? And then the telemetry dashboard is going to give us that insight, that example, to get that information. Because in reality, it is impractical to test every solution. You just can't, right? We typically have hundreds, if not thousands, line of business add-ins, across a large organization. That's not uncommon at all. 1,400 is a very common number I hear a lot when individuals say, by the time you do a full inventory of everything that's touching Office, it's usually a really big number, and it's honestly, every upgrade you've probably ever done in your Office environment, you never tested all scenarios. Right? It wasn't practical. You couldn't pull it off, not in a timely fashion, without a team of 50 or 100 people. So it's kind of that risk reward game, right? So the telemetry dashboard gives us the ability to gather that information, collect it, and then sort on what's going to be the tops, what's going to be the nuisances, what needs to be fixed, right? And what things are we going to address first, second, third? It's all because it's always a priority, right? If I have 5 users who use this one add-in, and this one add-in is incompatible with Office 365 Pro Plus, but it runs the business, But it's only five people. You can still do everyone else excluding those five people, right? You just leave them on the version they're on. So the telemetry dashboard will help give us that information so we have it readily available. So this slide should look familiar. We just talked about it a little bit ago. In the telemetry dashboard, right, it's determine the frequency of use of documents and then set that threshold. The threshold, the default threshold is 3. So if a document is used, say, less than 3 times, don't report on it. If a document is used more than 3 times, report on it. You can also do certain filterings and obfuscation because, you know, certain documents you may want to masquerade what the name is because, you know, my example was earlier, right? It's the Minecraft acquisition. And because this tool is running on people who are actually responsible for doing acquisitions and they're working on these documents, I, as the office administrator, would have gained knowledge that I shouldn't have gained knowledge by this tool. So we can set security values that say, let's obfuscate, so let's masquerade the document name. So we keep the first two letters, star, 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 parenthesis 1, parenthesis, dot, doc. So that way we know that the document, if it's having an issue, could be the problem, but we don't know what the name of the document is. Another one is how frequently is it used, right? Some documents are only used, you know, not often at all. Examples like I was using earlier, your resume, right? You're updating your resume. Do you necessarily want, you know, to go out and collect everyone's little resume or the Pee Wee Football League document that, you know, they email you because, you know, here's the schedule, right? We all get a lot of emails that they used Office apps to just give us information that we open once, look at, maybe open once, print, and then that's it, right? Do we really want to report on that, on all that? We can, right? We can collect all of it if you want, but you're going to have a lot of noise in your environment, and you know, when it's a few hundred, the noise isn't so bad. When you get into 25,000, that's a ton of noise, right? So then you want to set a threshold, maybe something a little higher, so you're getting into the true business docs that are being used on a regular basis. 5 seems to be a very popular number. So what does the office, or how does office telemetry work? So the office telemetry, you know, consists of the Office 2013 client, so it's built in. The dashboard is just built into Office 2013. Everyone who has Office 2013 has the office telemetry on your machine now. It's already there. So if you're on a Windows 8 machine, you can just type telemetry dashboard and it'll show up. If you have a Windows 7 machine, if you click start, you get the start menu, you go to Office 2013, and you'll see like, what is it, others or add-ins, and you open that folder, and then there it is, the telemetry dashboard. It's just an Excel spreadsheet. That Excel spreadsheet is the launching pad for everything that is the telemetry dashboard. So there are not installs or download, or there are installs, but there are no download locations that you can go on to search and get this telemetry dashboard executable. So I can't go to MSW or Microsoft.com, type in telemetry dashboard, and it'll say, oh, here's the dashboard.exe file, because it doesn't exist. It's only available through the dashboard. So you have to have at least one copy of Office 2013 in your environment to establish the telemetry dashboard. So if you don't have one, just do one of the trial builds of Office. Remember, you can do the ODT, pull up the file, get it. Once you get the dashboard, right, then you can do with it as you wish, because then you can set up your environment. So what does it consist of? The telemetry dashboard consists of the Office client, right? We have the collection point, we have the processing service, and we have a database. So the collection point is where all the clients put their files. So Office, when you have the telemetry turned on, runs, and every, I'm wanting to say 4 hours, it sends the telemetry information to the collection point. So in our labs, we set that to be 1, so it happens like every minute. But it's like every 4 hours it sends the, here's my data, right? So this is what I've used, this is what I look like, this is what I, and it's just text data. It's not a lot of data, it's actually pretty small stuff. I haven't cracked open and looked at it. I believe it's in a CAB format, but it's not super encrypted. It's just, we're just using some basic algorithm for it. The processing server, it's responsible for taking that text and writing it into the SQL database. That's all it does. Takes the text, writes it into SQL. So the SQL database can be either SQL Express, or it can be full SQL. So depending on the size of your environment and however many clients you're collecting from, the SQL Express could work for you. But you know, it may not be large enough, and then you'll need a full instance of SQL. And that's all based on size and the reason, and we'll get to that here in a minute. So it's all managed through group policy. The only way to manage the telemetry client is through group policy. So I can distribute the telemetry client to all the non-Office 2013, Office 365 Pro Plus clients through a management tool, System Center, Group Policy, things of that nature. But the only way I can manage the configuration is through Group Policy. So you'll have to set up at least one group policy that tells which clients what to do. And of course, you can have multiple group policies filtered based on OU and security groups and sites, and however you want to filter all this down, you can control all of that, but the only way to configure it is through group policy. So part of our exercise we talked about is the Office client. It does the information, it puts it into the collection point. The collection point then has the process server goes, oh, I see there's information in the collection point. It goes and gets it, processes it, writes it into the SQL database. At that point, the telemetry dashboard reads into the SQL database and gives me my reports. So basically, the SQL spread or the Excel spreadsheet you're looking at is really just kind of a report of what is in the SQL database. And you can save these reports off. So it's just standard Excel. In our labs, God willing that we can actually get to the labs, in our labs, there's actually an Excel file that we encourage you to take with you, because it already has a lot of the GWIS slicers established for you that you can take with you. So you don't, because you can create custom reports, but you have to know kind of all the GWIS custom slicers to get. We've actually created one for you, and it's nice and handy. So all you have to do is connect it to your SQL repository, give it the database name. It'll pick up where it needs its information. It'll backfill all the slicer information, and then you'll have these GWIS wonderful reports that you can go through and start swizzling to your own content. You can also use that in Power BI. So anyone in here a BI person? So you can put this up into Power BI, and then you can get real creative on, you know, what you're reporting on, who, where, why, what are the trends, those type of things. So Power BI can give you capabilities way beyond what we're going to do with simple Power View. So it keeps building the collection file, but remember, we're not collecting that much data, right? We're not going through and constantly, you know, every time you open a document, we go, yeah, okay, you open this document, right? Every time it launches, we know that it launched. Every time it used an add-in, we know that it used this add-in, right? So we're keeping this little ticker of what's happening, but it's not detailed, right? Again, I try to emphasize, it's not a troubleshooting tool, so that collection of information isn't massive, right? Yeah. But if you had a machine that you had this turned on, so it was once enabled, and it went offline for 30 days, and it stayed offline for 30 days, then that's going to be pretty good sized, right? That could probably get up to like the 5, 10 meg size. Remember, it's just text. Right. Right. So there are the 2010, 2007, 2003 clients. So they function the same way. They operate, they write the data into the collection point. The process server picks up the data, writes it into the SQL database. you again run your reports based off the SQL database. So privacy is a setting that you can set. So sometimes you want to hide certain information. We've already talked about that, right? We want to obfuscate certain file names, right? So M&A type stuff. You can set that to have that feature enabled. Right? We can specify specific filters. So we can filter out, maybe we only want Word docs, or maybe we only want Excel data, or maybe we, you know, you can get all of it, or you can get down to particular file types as far as what you're filtering and collecting. And you can set thresholds. Remember I was talking earlier, right? You may not want to collect everything that's only been used once. Maybe you want to set a threshold of, say, 5 or something of that, you know, maybe 10. You know, something that's going to be more relevant business data as opposed to, you know, my Excel crashed because my Pee Wee football schedule has this bad macro in it. That's, you know, and that's happened once, and nobody cares. But the tool will care, and it'll report it if you tell it to report it. So inside the telemetry agent, so what's really happening? So the agent, what does it consist of? It has the agent. How big is the agent? For Office 365, the agent is 64K. So that's how big that file or the agent itself is. So for Office 2003, 2007, 2010, the agent's about 50K in size. So this is something you'll have to deploy. And so whatever methodology you use to deploy software, you would want to deploy this agent to your users. The collection point. So we give an example here of the setting is 25,000 users collecting every 8 hours, right? It'll get to the size of around 11 gigabytes in a year. So that being said, we couldn't use SQL Express. Matter of fact, for SQL Express, if you're anything larger than 10,000, we recommend you do not use SQL Express. So 1 to 10,000, depending on your collection, right? SQL Express may be fine. Once you're 10,000, yes, question?
You said a year.
Yeah.
So what's the tilde 8 hours stand for on the slide?
That it's running, it runs every 8 hours and says, give me this data. Depends on the size of your environment and the number of machines and the number of versions. Some have seen it go as short as maybe like 2 or 3 months, and some have run it for 18, 24 months. Just depends on, now, 18, 24 months, we better do some pruning, right? We better do, you know, we do some cleanup, write some static reports, do those things, right? Because that data is just going to grow and grow and grow. And it's not super useful data. Right, all it's doing is giving us insight to what we need to go work on. So, and we actually have a tool for that. So we have a tool that you, hopefully the lab will work. You'll get to use the tool, and then that tool will actually help you prune out data. So the tool, and I'll get to the tool in a minute. Correct. So it doesn't collect everything like Office 365 Pro Plus does. Right. So again, this is not a health monitoring tool. This is not a heavy issues analysis tool. This is what does my environment look like? What is running in my environment? How is my environment functioning today? So I know what to go attack first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Okay. This doesn't solve that I go attack this, you know, my priority list. This doesn't solve the priority list. This just helps you make the priority list. So, and then the policy and the registries. So you have your registry settings. through your group policy that sets, you know, where your particular tags are, where your agent information logs, where your logging levels are, what's your source path, those type things. This group policy that we've talked about is the key to telemetry, right? This is how you set the telemetry clients. This is the only way you set the telemetry clients. It's through this group policy. So, I think I emphasized that enough. You can get in and you can set, again, we were talking about earlier, right? We can do our filtering. So we can set, you know, let's only report on Word, or let's only report on Excel, right? We can get granular, or we can kind of be, let's just gather it all. If we're looking at this tool for purposes of, you know, we're going to do an enterprise rollout, maybe we start with, let's collect everything, right? See what's happening, get a feel for our environment, then start doing some pruning, right? So reducing the noise, figuring out, because we're going to figure out what's noise, what's not noise, right? And then start tuning that. And we can go back, adjust the policy, it'll adjust the updates. We can run the admin tool to prune the content and the data, and then through that pruning process, we'll have cleaner spreadsheets. So what is the telemetry processor? So the telemetry processor is a machine that is responsible for getting the data and putting it into the database. So what do I need to be the telemetry processor? The telemetry processor needs to be a Windows 7 or better machine, or Windows Server 2008 or better machine. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a server class machine, right? Because it's not doing a heavy, heavy load. But it has work to do, and that level of work it has to do is based on the number of clients. You can have multiple processors feed into a database. So I can have 3, 4, 5 processor servers, workstations, pulling from a source path, so different source paths for each one of those potentially, right? And then writing those into the database.
How large is the data pushed from the processor to the database?
Well, it's going to be the same. So as soon as, and in the lab, you can actually do part of this lab, you actually set it up to watch this happen, and the client will write the file, right, into the folder where it's happening, and you see it disappear like instantaneous. As soon as it hits, it's gone, right? It almost feels like SMTP, because, you know, file in, bam, file's gone. So it's not, the processor doesn't sit there and go, well, you know, I'll get to it once a day. You know, it's going to backfill all this stuff. As soon as that data is hitting the processor is cranking it into SQL as fast as it can. That's its goal.
And then the processor is constantly sending to the database. I'm just thinking from...
It talks to the database every time it needs to talk to the database.
I'm just thinking the network team is going to say, well, how much chatter is this guy going to be... How much data are you going to be sending? How much chatter are you going to be sending right from your processor and your database if they're separated?
So, again... Yeah, you know, in your environment, you probably are, because your SQL guys aren't going to put the processor on the SQL server.
Yeah.
I understand that, right? We agree. Put the processor server on a desktop or a server that has, you know, good throughput. So we're in a year, we're going to roll around 11 gigs of data for 25,000 users through the network, right? So that's not an overwhelming, oh my God, we're, you know, melting down the environment type of communication. But there is a, you know, a matter of communications in the environment. But it's no bigger than the communications it was from the client to the source path. So remember, the client talks to the source path, so it drops its documents there. I say documents, it's report of information. then the processor grabs that information out of that source path, and it could be on the same server, it could be in different servers. Right? Performance and network latency-wise, you know, there may be advantages to advantage doing either way. And then it's going to write it into the SQL, whether that's a SQL Express local or a SQL Express remote or a full SQL remote, any of those. Yeah, it'll work as long as you have the performance for communications, that's fine. SQL typically becomes an issue when you get into virtualization, where maybe on your VMs for your SQL instance, you have dedicated cores, you don't do shared memory, you don't do shared processing, that kind of things, which is already the way you're probably building your environment now, right? That's fine. But understand, if you're going to be a large environment, you're going to collect a ton of workstations, you're going to collect a lot of data, right, that you may want to have an appropriate horsepower behind it. But it's not big. As I said, we're not talking a ton of data when we've, for 25,000 users, in a year, we've got 11 gigabytes of content. So now that's a lot of data to swizzle from Excel. Pretty good size Excel file, right? If you say, give me all, right?
That's but when you want to open up Excel on the same LAN or close to that database, right? Because when you open up Excel, it's going to have to retrieve.
Well, yeah, it's going to go, it's going to do its database connections, and it's going to say, all right, let's go get the content, right? So, but it's already using stored procedure type things, right, where it's getting that information. So, here's an example. They say here 10,000 users for a year is 14 gigabytes, right? So, again, it depends on which settings you've set to how frequently you're collecting, to what's your interval, to what you want, right, to the size of the database. So it's not overwhelming in size, but it's not trivial either. So just you have to take that into account. For you guys, you're SQL, right, because you're already more than 10,000. Right, it's we recommend you do that. Right, one processor server can only accommodate 50,000 users. One database, telemetry database, can really only do 100,000. So, you'll have to, set your processors appropriately to your database, and then your database instances appropriately to your environment. I would recommend you do statistical analysis of data gathering, so that way you're not collecting from 100,000, maybe you're only collecting from 14 or 15,000. We didn't do everyone at Microsoft, right? We did not collect from everyone. We did sampling.
What does that mean on the, your agent's still collecting from everyone, but then when you're doing the reporting, you're pulling that?
Nope. We only have that many agents talking. So again, through group policy, I can set a security group filter, right, or an OU filter, or however I'm doing my filtering, right, that says only these agents do it. Everyone else just does nothing. Just because the agent's there, it's just dormant. Until the policy tells it to do something, it's just dormant. It's just sitting there doing nothing. And then you set some permissions through OSQL. So everyone is really good at doing OSQL statements, right? Everyone here a DBA? No? No one's a DBA? So good news is we understand that because we're IT people also, especially in the office realm, right? We're not DBAs. So we built a tool called the Telemetry Dashboard Admin Tool, which is actually a command line tool that will do your DBA style functions for you. So you don't have to go learn all those SQL expressions and all those things. All you have to do is learn the basic settings of this admin tool. And it's pretty simplistic. It's not super complex, the number of things that the admin tool can do. But it can do your trimming of your database. It can do setting the permissions of your database. It can provide your threshold type information. Those are the things that we as IT administrators would struggle with doing in SQL, right? We're just not OSQL people. But this tool allows us to do what we do know, which is command line, right, to execute what we're really trying to achieve. So that's why it's important, because it allows us to clean up, it allows us to move, it allows us to merge data, right? So if I want to move my, so let's say I start with a SQL Express version of my telemetry database, and then from SQL Express I go, well, I'm going to go, you know, this database is, I'm at 9 gigs. I'm running out of space. I haven't collected all I want. We're growing in size. We're about to acquire a whole new company. You know, what do I do? Well, you create another instance, right? You're going to get a new telemetry database source, and then you're going to take this, and then you're going to merge that in there, if you wish, you know, or you could do some certain reporting. But this tool will allow you to do those type of things. Clean up database, you know, I only want the last 3 months. I don't want, you know, life span. Because, again, the telemetry is really just to give you the information you need to what you need to attack first, second, and third. Right? It's not going to be your problem solver. It can solve some problems. Right? Once you open up the spreadsheet, you're going to start finding problems. And you're going to go, wow, I didn't even know this happened. Right? We did the same thing. But it doesn't solve the problem. It just makes you aware you have the problem. So the downloading of the document is in the lab. So you have the ability to get the document off the lab. So it's on the desktop of machine one, I believe. And I believe it's also on the desktop of the SCCM server. I'll look if I'm connected. Right, and if it's working, because right now my version, you notice I haven't done a single demo because my version isn't working and I can't get to the network. And
that's the document, but what about the tool, the cleanup tool?
So the cleanup tool is the MDB, is the TD admin tool. That one's automatically installed on the machine. So with the agent, so as soon as you put the agent on the machine, yeah?
Oh, it's 1 gig.
Yeah, so then that's automatically put on there. So let's look at what the telemetry dashboard looks like with no data. That'll be exciting. All right, escape. So earlier, we were just talking about what does the telemetry dashboard look like. So here's the telemetry dashboard. It's on my local machine. The way I found my telemetry dashboard is I just went to my local machine, right, and started typing telemetry. Oh, sorry. Thank you. You think by now I would have caught on to that. So the telemetry dashboard is just there. So in Windows 8, I can just start typing telemetry dashboard, and it'll take me to that Excel file. In Windows 7, it's a part of your menu system. For those who are here, so it's all programs, Microsoft Office, Office Tools, the telemetry dashboard for Office 2013. So it's, everyone who installs Office 2013 has a telemetry dashboard. It's already there. Now, it doesn't mean your permission to use it, anything of that nature, but the dashboard is there. But you need the dashboard to do anything with the telemetry dashboard. So if I want to get started, right, I go over, click Get Started, set up prereqs. I need to set up a SQL Express edition, or I need a SQL edition. If I'm not sure what to do, learn more, and it will walk me through it. Right? I need to install the telemetry processor. When it's time to add the telemetry processors to the environment, I can just run the telemetry processor from this computer. So if I have this on my workstation already, I can just run it, and it'll put the appropriate version on. If I don't know, then I'll just start installing the x86 or the x64, and it will tell you this is the wrong version. So if you have a 64-bit version of Windows, and we're talking Windows now, not Office, if you have the 64-bit version of Windows, it's going to say, let's do Windows. You know, the 60, you know, if it's the 64-bit version of Office, I mean, the 32-bit version of Windows, then it's going to say, I need 32-bit. So
that's for your post-machine type.
This is for the machine that is going to be your process machine. So your process machine doesn't have to be a local machine. The advantage to doing this on the process machine, you don't have to think about it. You just say do it, right? In reality, we realize that everyone has a tiered architecture, right? And nothing is, they're typically not commingled. We understand. So that's why we give you the MSIs that you can extract and then deploy through any tool that you normally use for software distribution and put it on whatever is going to be your process servers. And those process servers can be Windows 7 or better workstations or Windows Server 2008 or better servers. No Macs, no Linux. So to the deploy the agent, so now that I deployed my process servers and I've set my source, now I need to deploy my agents. Again, the agents for 2013 are built in. The agents for 2003, 2007, 2010, it's the same agent. They're there, and again, it's 64 or 32 based on the Office version. So odds are it's always going to just be 32. Almost nobody deployed 64-bit version of Office. Anyone know why? Exactly, because none of the add-ins were 64-bit. So that's why. And then we configured the agent. So we did this in our last lab exercise. So I think just you two gentlemen are the only two that actually successful with it. So yay. This just talks about setting up your group policy and configuring your group policy for the agent to connect and configure the agents on the local machines. So this little link here will take you to the ADM template files. You can get them, pretty much anywhere. These aren't our super secret files. And you just put the ADM files on your domain controller in the appropriate directories, and then you set your group policies through your standard group policies and ADUC, and there you go. Actually, you don't use ADUC, you use a GP manager. You can connect. So you can actually have multiple database sources. So again, let's say I have this region, then that region, then this region. Right? I can say connect a database, right? And I can go to this instance of the database, and I can have maybe multiple instances of the database. I may create an instance of the database that's West Coast, an instance of the database that's Central, an instance of a database that's East, and then I just report appropriately. Now, these aren't consolidated. They're individual views, depending on the size of your organization. Typically, we try to just use one, right, for simplicity purposes, but if your organization needs to go multiple, you can. But you would just say, set your connection properties here. Once you connect to the environment, right, it populates all your information. This is the part I really wish that worked. So, for me, it works. In your labs, it works fantastically well. So, that being said, any questions around the telemetry database or the telemetry dashboard and the architecture that is the telemetry system? So you have the clients, both old and new. You have the source path. So this is where all the clients are going to write their data to. It's just the SMB share. Then you have the process server. It takes the data from the SMB share and writes it into SQL. Then we have the telemetry dashboard, so the Excel spreadsheet that reads into the database, that extracts that information. And then I can swizzle it and slice it and dice it however I want to get the pertinent information.
Was there a separate MSI in those two MSIs, or however many were there, for the client machines? Was there one specifically for the client?
Mm-hmm. So there's separate MSIs for the workstation server, right? And then there's separate MSIs for the agents for the old versions of Office.
Are those agents self-destructive?
Got me twice. Now you're using poor humor on me. Only I'm the one who makes bad jokes.
Well, if I pull up to the
Well, it'll go away when you uninstall the other version of Office. Yeah, because it's tied to that version of Office. Yeah, it becomes an add-in to the Office.
Oh, okay.
So when you uninstall Office.
I'm thinking of another separate executable agent that's running on the machine.
Well, it is a separate install process, but it's tied to the Office. Well, you may double report. If you got them both running simultaneously, you're going to double report.
But once you get rid of 2007, it's okay. It'll just automatically.
It'll be reporting the 2013 version information.
Yeah, feature request. When we get an uninstalled date, or it will automatically remove itself after a period of time.
That'd be interesting. Where you just put it out there, it runs for a period of time, and then it just automatically pulls itself off.
I don't want to be responsible for taking it back, but I just want a 30-day snapshot.
Right. Interesting. Send me that email.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's a ways you could do it programmatically, but it's just interesting to, going in, we just say, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you do that setting it up, right? You can run a task schedule, or you can do the, you know, you can have your configuration manager say, do this, and then tear it off after this amount of time, right? Because it's just an MSI app that you can control and distribute however methodologies you do that, right? And then you can get all kinds of creative ways you do with all your packaging and your app management.
Is it bringing information in from the process?
No, none of that. All it is for Office for Windows. Right? That's all it is. It's Office for Windows. No Macs, no iPhones, no Android phones. Right? Because we're not worried about VBA and add-ins and plug-ins for any of that stuff. Because none of it exists. And we don't care about the Mac. Just kidding. We make a Mac version, not of the clients, but... there's a Mac version of Office. So then the MDMs would really be, that's where they would come into play. So the MDMs are going to have all that reporting information, all that critical data. They're going to know that content. Well, it doesn't, because now we're talking a different thing, right? So the telemetry tool is really around, what do I need to do to address my Office upgrade? That's the design of the tool. But for, you know, how is my Office for iPad and Office for iPhone and Office for Android Pad working and functioning, and what are the times and those kind of things, that's where the MDM is going to come into play, because it's the only one who's aware of that information. Right. Different protocols, they talk into the environment in different ways. It's all different. So. Any questions? Concerns? That was an awesome demo. Thank you for doing the labs. Sorry about the labs. I have one final session for those of you who are just glutton for punishment and want to stay home. It's in a different room. We're going to go into troubleshooting, which is really just reading the logs of setup and reading the logs of the TCO logging. Yeah, the labs are good for about, what I've heard was like 10 days. So if you go home tonight or tomorrow and you fire up the labs and you just walk through them, and you know, what I've said will start to make sense, because I know a lot of, you're just kind of like, well, he said a lot of stuff, but, right, I didn't get to do, because... you know, part of these Academy Live type things is, you know, we talk, you do, we talk, so it makes sense to you. So. I don't know, that's a great question. Just try it. If it expires, I don't think it does, though. I think once it expires, it's kind of dead. They're pre-provisioned. We had 80 of them provisioned for a period of time, and they have a block time set. Oh, redo the lab?
Yeah.
I think you can. I think that's an option where you go into where it says resume lab. I think reset is one of the options. Like, where's that stack of papers? Take some extra IDs with you. Oh, here we go.